All right.
Whatever you want to do.
Thank you, everyone, for coming. We're going to try to have a little Inyana Dioma, a little bit of pre-Purim stuff about tzedakah as well. No, not Purim Torah, but I'll say an interesting case. We'll call it a Rosh Hashanah Torah. Question is, can you use Meiser money to travel to Uman for Rosh Hashanah? Maybe we'll talk about that. But
going there. That's why you shouldn't.
But in all seriousness, so the last 2 weeks we've been kind of talking about what Meiser is. We've kind of outlined three basic ways to understand the concept of Ma'aser Ksafim, giving a tenth of your money. You have to give a tenth of other things from the Torah, a tenth of your produce to the Levi, and then 4 out of 6 years in a Shemitah cycle, you give another 10% to yourself, which you have to eat in Yerushalayim. The other 2 years, you give 10% of your produce to aniyim, to poor people. You have to give what is known as ma'aser behema, 10% of the animals that are born in a year to a kohen. But that's it in terms of biblical ma'aser that's explicit in the Torah. As several midrashim and achronim noted, that only covers certain types of industries. So in the times of the Beis HaMikdash and Jewish independence, when most people were farmers or pastoralists, shepherds, so yeah, that kind of covered a significant percentage of the economy. And so if, you know, let's say, for example, 80% of the Jewish people are giving 20%, potentially 30% of their income to Leviim, poor people, or the Beis HaMikdash. So you could sustain a welfare state based off of that. But when at least a significant majority of people are involved in other types of industries, like business or craftsmanship, so then that goes down. Yeshivas, yeah, fundraising. So the Chida, as well as others, say that that's kind of when the concept of Ma'aser Ksafim began to gain traction, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, or after the people were kind of pushed out of land-based jobs. And so in order to, quote-unquote, make up the difference, this concept of Ma'aser began to pick up. However, many midrashim have pointed out that even the avos, the concept of giving a tenth of even non-produce, has existed, and the dispute is only at what point did it become enshrined in practice, if ever. So one opinion is perhaps a simple reading of Tosfos, which is that it's a biblical commandment. There's a drasha, a ribui, that says that ace kol, that you have to give a tenth of everything, including other forms of business that you, other forms of profit that you make. That's the opinion of potentially Tosfos and the Sifrei. Most people do not subscribe to that. Maybe one or two Rishonim, maybe the Smag, maybe we said, maybe the Or Zeruah, but that's pretty much it. There's sort of a middle of the road opinion, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, maybe according to the Taz, which says that it is Dirabbanan, that there's a rabbinic mitzvah to give Ma'aser Ksafim, a tenth of your money. The vast majority of poskim, including the Bach and including a tshuva from the Maharam Rutenberg, says that it is a minhag. It is a custom. It's a very ancient custom. It's a very important custom. But the practice of giving a tenth of your money is only a minhag. Now, even in that kind of box of minhag, there's different options. So you can have what's known as a universal minhag. It's a custom that all Jewish people follow. Or it could be a community or an individual-based custom. And that's also a matter of debate. There are some people, there are some poskim that say that it is a universal minhag, that at some point in history, the Jewish people as a nation decided to give a tenth of their stuff. Now, that means that even though it's a minhag, there's nothing you can do about it. You can't do Hataras Nedarim. You have to follow it if the entire Jewish people does it.
What do you mean by entire? Are you talking about 100% of Jews?
No. So again, I don't mean 100%, but I mean like let's take a classic. Let me give you an example of a minhag that is prevalent but is not universal. So kitnios, for example. So that's Ashkenazim, that's Sfardim. Or Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershon, of only marrying one wife. So that doesn't break down exactly, you know, Ashkenazi Sfardi. There are some Sfardim also that don't. Right, and there's a major, but again, that's an example.
I got it.
What most people, and what we'll see today, whoop. what we'll see, though, today is that it really was community or individual based. Certain communities had practices. Last time we spoke about the early modern German and Eastern European practice of parents or in-laws taking ma'aser from a dowry before they gave it to the kids because they didn't trust the kids to do it.
I thought they gave 10% of the children away.
No. and we'll see now that certain communities had a concept of ma'aser and others didn't. And so then the question becomes, well, if, let's say it's an individual minhag. Okay, so I've taken upon myself to give 10% of my money to ma'aser. So there's no ma'aser person. So the question is, now that I've calculated how much ma'aser I have to give, what can I use it for? So if you hold that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa like regular ma'aser, so then you should have to give it specifically to poor people, and you can't do anything else with it. If it's just a custom, or maybe just a rabbinic commandment, then maybe there's more wiggle room. Maybe I can use ma'aser money for other things, other good things that I have to do. For mitzvos,
yeshiva tuition.
So there's a lot of, there's a lot of different questions. As to what you can use Meiser for. So we're not going to get through everything today, but we'll start. So we'll start off with the Shulchan Aruch. There's a double-sided page here. We're going to be on page Reish Samach. On the top right corner, it says Reish Samach. So this is from Tzedakah Reish Mem Tes. Let me share it so the people on Zoom can see it as well. Give me 1 second here. So we're going to be in the middle, on the top. The middle part is the Shulchan Aruch. So in the Rashi script, right? So the first few words are in bold, in block script. That's the Shulchan Aruch. And then it says Haggah. That's the Ramah. So another just historical fact, which I'm curious as to the sociological factors, the discussion of Ma'aser is an Ashkenazi discussion. There are very few Sfardim until like early modern period, like the Chida, that really spoke about what you can use Ma'aser for. A lot of Ashkenazi literature, not so much Sfardi. So the Beis Yosef in the Shulchan Aruch just basically says you give 10% is the average Mida Beininess of what you're supposed to do. You give 10%. Now, if you look in the Ramah, so the Ramah says Haggah, va'al yivazvez adam yoser mechomesh, right? So we spent a few weeks learning about not spending more than a fifth, shelo yitzarech lebrios, so that you shouldn't ultimately have to rely on others. V'dafka kol yimei chayav, but that's only while you're still alive. Aval b'shas moso yachal adam litein staka kol masha yirtza, on your death, but you can give however much you want, because you're not going to need it anyway. And now we get to our part. V'ein la'asos mima'aser shelo. You should not use your ma'aser funds. Davar, turn the page. Davar mitzvah. You cannot use your ma'aser money for a mitzvah purpose. Kigon neiros lebeis haknesses, like candles or lighting for a shul. O sha'ar davar mitzvah. Or any other mitzvah. Rak Yitnu la'aniyim. The only thing you're allowed to use ma'aser for is the aniyim. So where is this coming from? This is coming from the Ma'aril. You can see in some Shulchan Aruch they tell you that it's from there and some they don't. This is from the Ma'aril. The Ma'aril was one of the great German poskim, Rishonim, I think in the 1300s, if I'm not mistaken, a very key person in terms of the literature that's left over from medieval Ashkenaz, medieval Germany, in terms of preserving German customs. So there's a few svarim that we have from the Mariel. Some are responsa, but one is just called Minhagim. And this is just a collection of customs that he and his family recorded and some that he preached. So if you look in this other sheet that I gave you, so source number 2. So this comes from the Maria. Let me switch, if I can, over here. We'll stop this share, and we will go to the other one. So this comes from the Sefer Ma'aril Minhagim and Halachas of Rosh Hashanah. So this was a drasha that he gave in shul close to the Yomim Noraim, saying you should give a lot of tzedakah. And then once he's talking about that, he goes into the halachas. He says, V'hanosnin ma'aser shalahen la'asos neiros lahadlikan b'shas ha'tfila shelo kedin osin. Those that use their ma'aser money to purchase candles for davening, you know, when people are davening, they're not doing it halacha. That's not the right thing to do. Why? Ki hamaaser shayech la'aniyim. Because meiser money is reserved for poor people. So what does that basically mean? In very strong terms, this money is not yours. This money, when you designate it as meiser, you don't have to take meiser if you think it's just a custom, but if you're doing that custom and saying, I'm separating this as meiser, what you've officially said is, I have now earmarked this for poor people, and so you can't use it for other things. And if you look in source number 3, this is an elaboration on that, totally different scenario. Now, before we actually read it inside, if I had to ask you, based on what I just said, why am I not allowed to use it for other purposes? It's not yours. It's not yours. It's not yours. Now, look at the Maril. He says that, but he also adds in another phrase because it's a bit of a different case. Shaila, someone asked him a question. In Adam Yotze Mitzvas Matana Le'evyonim, B'mashino Sein Lahem Ma'os Shal Meiser. Let's say it's Purim, and you have some leftover Meiser money. Can you, quote-unquote, kill two birds with one stone by using that meiser money to give to the poor person and also fulfill matanas levyonim? So he kind of spells out both sides of the equation. He says, mi amrinan, do we say, kevan da hameiser belav hachi shaycha lahem lo yatza, maybe this meiser money belongs to them already, and so you're not yotze. Dehanosin lahem mishal lahem. What is matana? What is a gift? A gift is when you give something that belongs to you to someone else. But over here, by me separating it, it's no longer mine. So then, if that's the case, so then you do not fulfill the mitzvah of matanas levyonim. Yeah. O Dilma, or maybe. Ikar takana kedei l'samchan. Maybe the whole institution of matanas lev yonim is not really to give them tzedakah per se, but as a catalyst for simcha. And then imkain, if that's the case, yotza lev yonim, you do fulfill it, ki eina makpidim no sein lahem maiserim lav. Because they don't care where the money comes from as long as they get it. Now, I have to be honest. If I was a poor person and I said, oh, I could get $100 for both, or I could get $100 from one and $100 from another source of revenue, I'll be much more happy. I'll be much more besimcha if I get that $200. But that's sort of his dilemma. Meaning, what is the essence of matanas lev yonim? Is it me giving from me to someone else? Or is it me making that other person happy, and the way the sages told me that I have to do that is by giving them money, and so it doesn't matter if I double up or not? So that's his question. Tshuva. So in the next paragraph, he answers, Umatanos le'evyonim, and for matanos le'evyonim, anias daitin note. My humble opinion kind of leans, meaning he doesn't seem to explicitly say it has to be this way, but he's like, in my humble opinion, I think this is the case. D'lo nafik b'maos meiser. You're not yotze. Kevan d'takanta d'rabbanon hi. Since it is a takana d'rabbanon, have davar shabichova. It is a considered to be something that you have to pay. It's a requirement. It is an obligation. Now, this takana de rabbanon is what? Is referring to meiser. So he holds, this is a rishon, the Maril holds, that it's not a custom. It is it's a rabbinic obligation. So since it's a rabbinic obligation, v'nimtza ze porea chovo mi meisera. V'ein lo ba ela tovas hana. So
which is he referring to as takanas d'rabbanan?
Oh no, you're right. No, I'm sorry. Yeah. No, you're right. I flipped it around. No, he's referring to matanas levyonim. You're right. I'm sorry. No. You're right. No, I apologize. I'm sorry. He's talking about matanas levyonim. So you're paying matanas levyonim. It's an obligation that you're paying with meiser. Ve'ein lo ba ela tovas hana. Now, tovas hana is a concept that comes up with matanos for a kohen like truma and for a levi and for an ani by meiser. Tovas hana means that I have to give you this stuff because it's really yours, but I can choose who I give it to, and that is a financial right that I have, meaning you can give me almost a kickback for giving it to you and not giving it to someone else. That's basically what it is. You can ask for a certain percentage back to earmark it. Now, again, what are the halachos and ethics of that? Meaning, let's say someone just comes and says, I'm here and I want it now, and you have the ability. So it's not a shir on tovas hana. But he says, even though you have that right, the actual money is not yours. Mikol makom havei davar shebichova. Now here comes the important line. V'chol davar shebichova eino ba ela min hachulin. Something that you have an obligation to do has to come from chulin, has to come from ordinary sources of funding. It can't come from something that has sanctity, kedusha, or another mitzvah connected to it. So, okay. So very, very good. So the question that you asked is a good question, meaning meiser has no kedusha. Meiser has absolutely no sanctity whatsoever. You can eat it if you're tamei. A levi can sell it. A poor person can sell it. You're allowed to eat it. So where does this... Yeah.
Question. A child has to perform mitzvot.
Yeah.
Father gives the kid his allowance.
Okay.
Technically, it's still the father's because whatever. Now, the kid goes and gives tzedakah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we just said that you can't use tzedakah, basically, or like what the Kohen would have or whatever,
yeah,
for you to give to a one and the one to give back to you, we said, maybe not. You can't double up on the mitzvah.
Right.
So I give a child or I give my grandson a $10 bill and I say, here, go give tzedakah. Is he giving the tzedakah, or am I giving the tzedakah?
Ah, that's...
No. I'm getting... He knows about the chinuk, so it's not chinuk.
So it's an interesting question. Giving money to somebody to give for tzedakah, like the Lubavitcher Rebbe, gave out thousands and thousands of dollars. So do any of them get mitzvahs, or is it just the Rebbe that's getting the mitzvah? So or is he not getting any mitzvah?
What do they do with the dollar? They put it in some place.
They frame it and then give a different dollar. Well, so Gabayim is a whole different thing. We're not talking about Gabayim. Maybe we'll touch on it. We're not getting to Gabayim right now. This is a Gabay free zone here.
I want my money.
Is that like the shul's a nut free environment?
But yeah, exactly. But the concept of davar shebichova eino ba ela min hachulin, it comes from a Gemara about karbanos. So there, you have certain obligations that you have to bring karbanos, right? So I have to bring a karban Pesach. Karban I have to bring a karban Chagiga. If I may do an Aveira, I have to bring a karban Chatas. Now, in addition to all of those obligatory karbanos, I can also choose to give a karban. I can say, I'm giving this animal as a karban. So am I allowed to take that animal to fulfill another obligatory karban and essentially kill two birds with one stone? So the answer is no. The Gemara says no. Now, why would you say no? Okay, so you're saying you shouldn't bunch up mitzvos. There's a simpler answer that, like, you
designated it.
So you say you've already designated it, you can't double up.
Right. It's not yours anymore.
So you mean, so you're saying, so I have two separate obligations. I said I have an obligation to give this, and... But as I'm saying, I'm not changing it. Meaning,
it's
I say...
It's part of the same paragraph, same sentence.
It's not changed.
It's part of the same...
Meaning, I say, I have to bring... No, we're not talking about that. We're saying, I designate this carbon... as a shlamim, and then I have to bring a karban chagiga, which is a shlamim. So can I do that? Yeah, that's where this comes from. That's a whole sugya. We don't have time to go through the whole sugya, but the Gemara has psukim that basically tell you, you can't do this. So if you look, though, in source number 4, this is the Mikdash David. So the Mikdash David, his name was Reb David Rappaport, he was a Kohen. It was very interesting. So he was a big Talmud Chacham, and he wrote a sefer on Kadshim, on Karbanos. He gave the top shir in Rav Chanan Wasserman's yeshiva in Baranovich. What was interesting, it's, you know, oftentimes the Rosh Yeshiva gives the top shir. Rav Chanan Wasserman was unique. He was the Rosh Yeshiva and said, no, I'm teaching the lower introductory shir, he gives the top shir. So Rav Chanan became a master pedagogue of teaching young children, and he gave the higher level shir. So he has a question. He says, "Od yesh ladun baze." We have to talk about this. De'ein lachme toda boin min hatruma mitam acher. You can't bring, when you bring a karban toda, you bring loaves of bread, so you can't make those loaves of bread from truma. Mishum delachme toda heim laolam davar shebechova. Whenever you bring a karban toda, you have to bring those loaves of bread. Ve'ein ba elam in hachulin, and so they have to come from a non-mitzvah source, so they can't come from truma. Ukemo de'ein lachme toda ban min ha-meiser kedamrina b'menachos. The Gemara Menachos says that you can't use meiser grain to make loaves of bread for a karban toda. Ve'gam b'di'eved pasul, and it's pasul. Now look in the bold. Mihu, be'ikar zeh, with this idea, the davar shebechova eino ba ela min hachulin ve'eino ba min ha-meiser. So this thing that you can't use, you can't discharge an obligation from a holy source. Yesh ladun ihatam mishum kedusha. Is it because that object has holiness? V'ledavar shebechova bo'inan chulin mamish. And there's a reason. You know, the Torah just says, whenever you do something special for Hashem, it has to come from a non-special source. If something already has Kedusha, you can't use it for Kedusha purposes. V'imkein, hachanami mitruma, de'ena yachal lahavi. So you can't use truma, then, to make your bread for a karban toda. Da'kado shod yoser mi meiser, because it has a lot of holiness more than meiser does. Hatam b'ma'aser sheni. The reason why you can't use ma'aser sheni for a karban toda, mishum dekevan dekvar yesh alav chovas havas makom. What's the obligation about ma'aser sheni? You have to bring it to Yerushalayim to eat. U'bechol karbanos yesh chovas havas makom. And with karbanos also, you have to bring the karban to the Beis Hamikdash. Im kein eina yachol lifter atzmo bidavar shekvar yesh alav chiyuv havas makom mikodem. You can't have two obligations. You can't discharge two obligations in one action. So he has two different reasons why it might not work. Is it because it has holiness, and the Torah says if something is already holy, you can't use it? Or, no, it doesn't matter if it has holiness or not. It's just you can't do two things with one action. It just doesn't work like that. You can't double up. So now let's think about our stuff over here, right? So now let's go back to Maaser. So Maaser Ksafim has no Kedusha, but it's designated for something else. So the Maharil, at least, says, even though this was talking about karbanos, this halacha of davar shebechova, somehow he's extending it to non-kadosh stuff. So which of those two sides is he probably leaning towards? Is it because there's holiness or because you can't do the same thing twice?
There's a difference here.
Yeah.
One has mamashis. It's about a carbon. That has mamashis.
Yeah.
My successor has no mamashis.
Right.
Until I designate it.
Yeah, so you're all basically saying the same thing, that it makes more sense to extend it to Meiser Ksafim if you hold that the problem is just you can't do the same thing twice. You can't do two things with one action. But then think about his explanation. Think about his different sides about Matanas Levyonim, right? So is it that I can do it because why? Because I'm just trying to keep them happy and so it doesn't matter? So that works then, right? If I'm just trying to make it happy, if I'm just trying to make them happy, so it has two separate obligations. One is the giving, and the other is making them happy. So that's how the Maharil learns. The Maharil learns like the second side of the Mikdash David, the second explanation of the Mikdash David. Now, if you look at the last line of the Mikdash David, he says, "Ach bepshuta hu mishum hakdusha." So the Mikdash David likes the first pshat that he gave, but the Maharil probably holds like the second. Now, the source number five is the Maram Shik. The Maram Shik was a student of the Chassam Sofer, one of the greatest students of the Chassam Sofer. He vehemently disagreed with this whole extension. He says, like you pointed out, this just has to do with karbanos. It has nothing to do with anything else over here. And it should have no application whatsoever to Meiser money. And that would work very well with the Mikdash David's first pshat, that kol davar shebechova eino ba ela min achulin has to do with the fact that it has holiness. So Meiser money has no holiness, and so you can do whatever you want with it. And you can discharge your obligation with poor people, with Matanas Levyonim. If we stopped here, what would the halacha be according to the Maharil? The Maharil says that these funds are earmarked for poor people. And because of that, I can't do any mitzvos with it, even if they involve poor people. Even Matanas Levyonim, I can't do. So let's try to scale that back a little bit. Right, what's...
I can do whatever I want with it.
You have to give it to poor people. You have to give it...
But, so I put it, but today...
So...
Today, what's the status of Maserani vis-a-vis the kind of Beit HaMikdash?
So even if you hold that it's a takana or a minhag, if I'm earmarking it for the aniyim, so I can't use it for anything else. If you believe that the institution of Maaser Ksafim, even if it's not an obligation, still belongs to the poor people, so I can't do what I want with it. And that's how the Maharil is learning. That's what the Maharil holds. Now, what is the obligation, though, of Matanas Levyon? One gift to two different people. I have to give two gifts, one to one person, one to another. How much money is Matanas Levyonim? So it has to be enough to buy something. So I think what people generally say is, you know, $10, $15 a person is...
Not so much anymore.
You know, with inflation, so, you know, $10 is you can get something for your suda. So for two people, that's $20. So... Baruch Hashem, people that have means, give much more than that for Matanas Levyonim. So can I use Meiser money for that? Let's say I want to give $200 for Matanas Levyonim. Can I do that? So the answer that many poskim say is yes. That even though, yes, technically that is Matanas Levyonim, I don't have an obligation to give that money for Matanas Levionim. I could do whatever I want with that money. And so I can choose to use my Meiser money to give more on Purim. No, no, that's nothing to do with that. It's that. No, no, even if it would be a Deoraisa, I have a biblical obligation to give.
You can change.
I'm saying it doesn't matter. If I have a biblical obligation to give $10 or $20 and I choose to give more, the rest of it's on me. So I can use Meiser money for that. As I'm saying, it doesn't matter. As I'm saying, it doesn't matter if it's a Doraisa, Derabanan, it doesn't matter. Now let's do so another case, Mos Chitim. Right, so Mos Chitim is a custom. So you can certainly use Meiser money for that. It's not an obligation. So even the Mariel, who is much stricter about what you can use Meiser money for, would agree that when the concept of tzedakah comes up, you can use Meiser money. So then there's one other classic case that comes up, Yizkor. So what do you say in Yizkor? You say, Hareini minadev tzedakah. I am taking on myself a vow to give tzedakah. Can I use Meiser money for that, according to the Mariel? The answer is probably not. Why? Because you created a debt on yourself, saying, I am obligating myself to give this, so I can't discharge my debt with Meiser money. So in terms of, according to the Mariel, it can only be used for tzedakah for poor people, and within that, it has to be, if it's an obligation, you can't use Meiser money. If it's not an obligation, then you can.
So if you make a pledge, you can use Meiser money.
The only way you could do that, according to the Mariel, if you pledge to a poor person, is if you build into that pledge, I am pledging to give it from Meiser money, because then that's fine. But if you just say,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So if you have to work it into your pledge, though. So if you want to use Meiser money for Yizkor, you would have to spell that out. You would have to say, I am taking on myself to give Meiser, Le'ilu Nishmas, my loved one, from my Meiser funds.
Now, you have, if you go through a list of contributors to whatever it is, you'll get names, and then you'll get some, like the XYZ Foundation or fund.
Yeah.
Which is a charitable fund.
Yeah.
Now, at the beginning of the year, that person put X amount of money into that charitable fund.
Right.
Can he or she go to that fund and say, even in their own mind, well, it's Yizkor. I want to give Zwei Chai on that.
Yeah,
money.
So that is, I saw that question in a Tzedakah Sefer, meaning if I set up a foundation from Meiser money, purely Meiser money, can I then, and it generates profit.
Well, does it become automatically Meiser money when they write the check and send it out to the foundation?
Right. So then, so can I use that, though, to pay off other Meiser obligations? The answer is probably not. But what about if it turns a profit? What about if the foundation invests some of the money?
What happens if you give them stock and the stock goes up?
Right, yeah. Meaning if you give somebody, if you dedicate a profit-generating product to tzedakah and then it generates a profit, is that profit yours that then you're donating, or is it theirs? The answer is that it's probably theirs.
Yes.
And so if you have a foundation that's a separate entity that you created purely from Meiser money, you can't use that to double dip to pay Meiser pledges or Meiser calculations from later on, even if it's new money that it grows within that institution. Again, there's different poskim that say different things, and we can look at it more in depth later, but that's the general idea. This, however, is one opinion. Right now we have the Mariel and the Ramah, definitely seems to paskin that way. However, turn back to the Shulchan Aruch. Reish Samach again. One second. We'll go over here. Right, so Reish Samach. So if you look now in the Shach is above the words of the Shulchan Aruch. So we're on page Reish Samach by the letter Gimel. V'ein la'asos mimaser shelo. So this is the Shach on our section. So he says, Maharshal v'hadrisha. So the Maharshal was, I would say, the Grand Rebbe of the Ramah. one of the early modern rabbis in Poland. The Drisha was the Sma, one of the commentaries of the Shulchan Aruch. Kosvu b'shem Chuvas Marenu Harav Menachem Me'il Tzedek. I don't know where he lived, a couple generations earlier, so very early Achronim, late Rishonim. D'chol mitzvah shetavo liyado, any mitzvah that comes to your hands, kigon lios bal bris, to be a participatory in a bris ceremony, o lahachnes chasan v'kala l'chupa, or to pay for weddings. Now, that's also very interesting, meaning that's, I would have thought that that's tzedakah, that's a poor person. But apparently, that does not fit the bill of tzedakah per se. It's just it's a poor family that needs funds for tzedakah, for the wedding. Uke haigavna, and similar situations. V'chein liknos svarim. Even to buy svarim, lilmod bohem, to learn them. Ula hashilan lahacherim lilmod bohem, and to lend them out. So Marty does that. Sometimes I give them back. Sometimes I don't. So
we all heard that, Marty.
So for all of these,
it's okay, I have a whole list.
He has a list. So Rav Menachem Yon Tzedek says, so all of these things, im lo haya yecholes biyado, v'lo haya oso sa mitzvah, if this is the only way for you to finance those things. Now, I want to be clear. It doesn't mean that it costs X amount and I literally don't have that in the bank. I think it means that, like, you know, when you're buying, when they auction off aliyos, right? So the bidding can go pretty high. And if, let's say, I was in Israel once where it went up to $1,000 for an aliyah on Simchas Torah. So I could have afforded that. I could have taken $1,000 out of my bank account and paid for it. Like, Baruch Hashem, I had $1,000 that I could. But that's a significant, that was a significant percentage of my savings that I had. And yes, I could have eked by, but I would never have done that. And I certainly didn't have an obligation to buy that aliyah. So that's what he's saying. He's saying that if you would not have undertaken that expense, whether it's to buy svarim or to help this, you know, wedding, or to be a sanduk at a bris or something like that, it's a good way for the parents of a newborn to raise some money. It's to auction off the kibbudim at a bris. If you want to, if they go to all the parents and the grandparents, if you want to be sanduk, who can contribute the most to the college fund? I don't know.
Does that mean that you can buy them oil and you can practice?
Yeah, I don't know. Again, so what it says over here is
it's not a bad idea, you know.
So if anybody comes up with this idea, I get credit for it. So if you would not have undertaken that, if you would not in good faith have undertaken that expense, yachol liknos min hamaiser, you're allowed to do it. So Rav Menachem Me'il Tzedek has a much more expansive definition of what you can use meiser for. You can use meiser, it doesn't have to be for poor people, it just has to be for mitzvah stuff.
Benefit people.
But, right, to benefit others, meaning not just for you, but to benefit other people. But there is a caveat that you wouldn't have done otherwise. Meaning, if you were willing to spend the money on your own to do that, of your own personal funds, then you really can't fulfill meiser. Because why? Because you were going to do it anyway. That's not you dedicating extra funds.
Are we talking about actual money, or are we talking about objects? Or are we talking about,
so right now we're talking about money. We'll talk about gifts later. Like, this comes up a lot by weddings when there are registries. So people give you plates, cups, pots, pans. Do I have to give the meiser equivalent, and how do I calculate that? It's a machlokas, but we'll get to that later. Right now we're just talking about money. So at least Rav Menachem Me'il Tzedek says that it has to benefit somebody other than you, in addition to you, and you would not have reasonably been going to do that anyway, so then you're able to. So that is already, a much more expansive version. At the same time, though, Rav Menachem Me'il Tzedek also implicitly agrees with what the Maharil says of kol davar shebechova eino ba ela min hachulin, right? Because if I'm obligated to do something, then I'm going to do it anyway, whether I have this meiser money or not, if I have to do it. So let's say buying arba minim, right? Buying a lulav and esrog. Can I use my meiser money according to Rav Menachem Yield Tzedek? Right, so the Maharil would obviously say no. But can I use meiser money to purchase a lulav and esrog with meiser money? And let's make it easier. Let's say I'm planning on lending it out to other people, right? So it's not just benefiting me. Am I allowed to do that? What would you say?
I would say yes, because it enhances. If that's the only money you have, it enhances your ability to celebrate your holiday.
Ah, so you're adding another wrinkle. You're saying that if
that's
you ever...
They have different grades.
They have different grades of lulavim and esrogim.
You don't have to get the best. You just have to buy the
right. So let's say the baseline esrog costs $50. Then there's another tier... For a okay, not here. But then there's another tier. There's another tier that's 100. Then there's another tier that's 200. Right. So according to the Maharil, none of this works. Right. Because it goes to the poor people. Mm-hmm. But for Rav Menachem Yield Tzedek, if I'm going to be lending this out to other people, there aren't so many to go around in my community, and I want to get a lulav and esrog. If it's just the baseline, right? I can't use Meiser for that. Why? Because I have to get that anyway. That's an obligation, but no one says I have to get a nicer set. So the, I guess, price differential between baseline and whatever I buy could theoretically come from my maser money, again, making it easier if I'm going to lend it out to other people. So perhaps then you could do that. So I can use maser money even for mitzvos if it's to enrich a mitzvah that I'm already fulfilling. You could make the argument for if you buy a Megillah, or mezuzahs maybe, if you're planning on having, if you want to lend them out to people as well, meaning, again, it doesn't come up so much. Shmura matzah, if, again, I'm eating it mostly, so I'm eating it mostly. But if you know, if people are coming,
you can buy 10 pounds, and you can put one
right. And if people are planning on coming to my house, I can give it to them. Now again, like if you're just planning on having another wealthy person come to your house, I don't know if that would work. But you know, if you're planning on inviting people to really enhance their simcha, like they would not have had a good simcha without it, then maybe you could. So another case, kibud ava'im. Right. So kibud ava'im. This is a very complicated question. The Gemara paskins that I have to honor my parent, but if there's any financial expenses, theoretically they have to cover it, not the kids. So the question then is, can I use maaser money for kibud av aim, since I don't really have to pay for it? They have to pay for it. I'm being nice and giving it to them. So that gets very complicated. We can do that another time, but that's a very complicated question. And the argument that many people say is that baseline stuff, if it's just, you know, whatever baseline they need to survive, so maybe that doesn't count, but to enhance their lifestyle, to enhance them, to give them a more bechubedik lifestyle, you know, if they could get by with X amount of food and with X amount of care, but you want to give them extra, maybe I could use my meiser money for that. Maybe I could. Again, very, very complicated question, but that's what some people paskin. And exactly, and the rationale is that especially if they're needy, so they should come first. There is, though, a line of reasoning which is saying, like, you know, you shouldn't be trying to game the system to get out of helping your parents. So there are some say that it's a bizayon to use your meiser money for your parents. So the compromise is that, like, baseline stuff should not be meiser money, but if you want to give them an extra standard of care, you can. That's a separate discussion. Let's just continue now. And here I was talking about regional customs. So the last line on the right column of the Shach. Ubichuvas Maharam Meirutenberg, Dufus Prague. So the Maharam Meirutenberg, one of the last Rishonim in Germany. So again, this is just this long train of German Rishonim. This seemed, tzedakah and Meister seem to be a big deal to them. So he has a tshuva. Ulefazer ma'asrosav libanav. It says tzarech lomar libanav. Hagedolim she'eno chayiv letapel behem. We're going to talk about this when it comes to yeshiva tuition in another time. But the Gemara says that a parent, this was another one of the Takanas Usha, that a parent is responsible for their kids up to a certain age for education, for food. Right. The Gemara said Takanas Usha was age 6. After that, the parent can basically say to the kids, you have to work.
Ain't going to work today.
Right, that doesn't work now. So we'll see. Maybe because circumstances have changed, maybe the halacha has changed. Yeah. But strictly speaking, according to the Gemara, Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So we'll say the halacha may have changed.
May have changed.
Terrible two. Started 2, ended 22.
32. Yes. I'm 31, so my parents say 32. Anyway, so the what's it called? So the Merami Rutenberg says, let's say my kids are older than 6. Can I use Meister money to support them? He says, Mutter, you're allowed to do that if they need the money. To afilu la'aviv mutter laseis imhu ani mishum kavod aviv. So if mamish, if the parent is poor, so aniye yurcha or your family comes first. So of course I should give my tzedakah money to my kids. Avol, but or sorry, and he says v'kol shekein, and all the more so libanav dimutter, that it's permissible, but b'makom she'ein bo'ir takana laseis lekis shel tzedakah. He says that's only allowed in a case where there is no communal custom that the Meister goes into this general community charity fund. And he says that takes precedence. Why? Because that's the communal institution. So you can sort of see where the Maril was coming from when he says that Meister money is earmarked for the poor people. They did. There were a lot of poor people in that time. He may not even have been saying that it's a universal thing. He may have just been looking around his world. His world was Germany, France. He says everybody here has poor people, and that's what this money goes to. Some have a community dedicated fund, some don't, but everybody does that. So the Marame Rutenberg acknowledges that communal practices take precedence over what you want to do. And so the same thing could be for the Reb Menachem Yeltsedek. Reb Menachem Yeltsedek says you could use your Meister money for other mitzvos that you're not obligated to do. If you want to do something nice, optional mitzvah, like to be a sandak or to buy svarim, but if there's a community institution or custom that it has to go to an earmarked fund, then you don't have a choice. You have to give it there. So we're saying that there are people are lenient and say you can use Meister money for, I guess, good works that are not obligatory, but there can't be any communal practices that conflict with that. Let's just finish the shach. Umashma demutter afilu yesh biyado yicholes lefarnes mimakom acher dizehu haveit staka kidulikamon. So the Shach says, look, the Marame Rutenberg said that you're allowed to give your money to your kids, and he doesn't give specific corollaries. The only one that he says is that there's no superseding communal practice. But he doesn't say what Reb Menachem Yeltsedek says, which is that I could finance it some other way. Reb Menachem Yeltsedek says that in order for me to use Meister money for optional mitzvos, it has to be that I wouldn't really do it if I didn't have those funds. When it comes to supporting your kids or supporting parents, the Marame Rutenberg says that's totally fine, even if you have other sources of support for them. Why? Because it's tzedakah. I can decide that I want to use my tzedakah to these people. So the way I would break it down now, if we have this, is that working under the assumption that this is a minhag. So if there's a communal minhag, you got to do what the community says. If it's your own personal custom, so then you can make a custom to say whatever you want. But if you just say, look, I'm giving this to Meiser, and you don't have any other, you know, fine print in your minhag. So then we have a machlokas. The Mariel and the Rama say that it has to be for poor people, for causes that you're not obligated to already contribute for in the first place. So that is the most limited psak. There are more lenient or more expansive views. You have Rav Menachem Yeltzedek, you have the Shach, and you have others as well. Probably the Chassam Sofer and his student, the Maram Shik, all take a slightly more expansive version and say, it can't just be self-serving. It has to help other people. That's kind of what we have Meiser for. That's, you know, tithing is not that I keep it for myself. It's that I use it for special purposes that theoretically benefit others. But, you know, if I want to be a sanduk, you know, technically I'm helping myself too. So there's no problem with you benefiting either. But he says it has to be something that you would not have financed any other way. So if, for example, and the lulav is probably the easiest case, would not have. I would say would not have. He says eino yachol, but
you're saying you have money and you cannot finance it.
Meaning, let's say you create a budget for a year. So I have, you know, at the end of the year, I have $1,000 extra left over. So I could save that money. I could use it for other things. Or I could use that $1,000 and buy another a nicer lulav and esrog set. And your personal feeling is that, no, I'd rather use that money for something else. Like, it's not that I choose not to. It's that, like, I can't see myself spending $1,000 on a lulav and esrog. I'm not going to do that. Or I can't see myself spending $1,000 on Master Yona. Like, I'm just not going to do that. I still have that $1,000 in the bank. I'll do something else with it.
If it's Maser.
No, so I'm not talking about Maser. Okay. I'm saying your own funds. Yeah, so in that case, Rav Menachem Yeltzedek would say, I can use my Maser money to purchase those things, to purchase those kibudim, or to up the quality of my mitzvah, and save that other funds that, like, I would just be using for other things if I would not have. Again, this is all, you have to be intellectually honest with yourself. That goes without saying. You have to be intellectually honest with yourself. If you would be willing to spend the extra $1,000 on a lulav and esrog or an aliyah, so then you can't use Meiser for that. But if you see no other way that you would realistically do that, so you're allowed to then, according to that school of thought. The question is, how do we paskin? And the way that at least, I think most poskim, and especially in the YU world, Rav Schechter very much holds, like the Bach, that it's a minhag. So when it comes to a minhag, there's much more leeway. And so I would say that if you want to use your Meiser for good works, so you can certainly rely on Rav Menachem Yeltzedek and say, look, I want to do this mitzvah better. I have to do the mitzvah. And so there's a baseline amount of financial investment on my own, from my own money, that I have to do. I have to buy a lulav. I have to buy olive oil. I have to give matanas levyonim. But beyond that baseline, I can use my Meiser money for that. I'm allowed to, if I wouldn't have gotten those funds from some other account that I have. There's certainly room to be lenient for that. Next week, what I hope to do are talk about other practical examples. Probably the most, costly one is yeshiva tuition. Can you use yeshiva tuition? So that really boils down to, well, A.
You have money
for yeshiva.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Sorry.
Can you accept Meiser in order to give yeshiva?
That's funny. But can you use Meiser money? Well, if it's an obligation to pay yeshiva tuition for my kids, then maybe I can't. But, well, first of all, am I obligated to? And second of all, let's say Yeshiva A charges $15,000 a year and Yeshiva B charges $20,000 a year. I want to send my kid to Yeshiva B that costs more. Can I use Meiser money at least to pay the difference? Or maybe you should just do Hataras Nadarim and not give Meiser. That's a separate thing. But again, people should give Meiser. It's a good thing. Okay. Thank you, everybody. It should be a Freilich and Korim. Yeah.
Sadi is Daka.
Okay.
From right and left.